Hockey talk. Hockey talk. Hockey talk.
In the movies, they always go out and find a kid who's really good to join the team.
Hey, that's right. We need a ringer.
We need a Canadian.
We've seen Fourier on skates before, so all of the talk is nonsense.
They're dinosaurs. They know how to, survive.
I got to shout out Razor. That donut's for him.
Don't worry. I got Bruins plates. People get out of our way.
Au revoir. Have a good game.
All right, so we have a lot to cover with our guy Razor.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Raycroft of Nesson and WEEI talks hockey with us each and every Friday. With us on the Harbor One Hotline, Razor, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Don't hear it.
Fourier does not hear the Canadian in you. And I knew the first three words that you would say would be, see, I don't hear it. And if we, gave you a longer answer to, do you still hear the, I hear the Canadian in you. Do you still hear it?
No, I don't hear it at all. I get that a lot. I've lost a lot of it. I don't say A at all. I think I've just been down here for so long that it's kind of went away a little bit. There's certain words, I think, that I say that people laugh at. But most of the time I get, you don't sound Canadian. Most of the time I get that.
Yeah, and I know Peter Laviolette like you do, and he's a guy from Massachusetts who now sounds like he's from Canada.
Yeah, that's right. The dressing rooms, the locker rooms usually just kind of bring everybody to the middle. Hockey talk.
Hockey talk.
My favorite.
There we go.
My favorite is hockey talk. Somebody on the Twitch just said honky talk.
Well, there is that too. Razor on the back-to-back on after the Tampa game. Your energy level was at a what that night?
I enjoyed the Tampa game. I've had much lower energies. If you watched at 1:30 in the morning in the back-to-back Calgary Edmonton, I'm sure it was a lot lower then. It was probably about a 6.5, 7.
Yeah, you and Jaff had to travel or something the next day. I think Sophia asked if you were going to do the college stuff in your podcast, and I think Jaffy was just like, yeah, we're not doing any of that. Well, the Bruins are getting the hell out of here. I gotta go somewhere.
Well, yeah, I'm down at Bristol now. So I did 9 hours of college hockey yesterday, and I have 9 hours staring at me today at 2:00. So my energy level tonight at 11:07 will be probably at a 4-3, maybe. Long day coming up here.
So what do you think the energy level will be for the Bruins on Saturday? Now, granted, now they have officially clinched a playoff spot for the 8th straight year. They needed, either the Capitals or the Wings, either one of those teams to lose. Both of them lost, so they go into the playoffs again. So with that, where do you think the energy level is going to be on Saturday?
It should be good. They got 2 days off, and they stayed on the road the time, so everybody gets to sleep a lot. No one has a lot of chores to do, so that's positive for the guys. They have practice today in Washington, and then they'll be ready to go tomorrow. I thought their energy level was great against Florida after they got yelled at the other day in practice and are trying to get ramped up for practice. And they have the best schedule. A lot of years, these guys have had games in hand, and they've grinded at the end. They have the least amount of games left in the league, which is a huge positive for them this season. I think they're going to be able to take advantage of these two-day rest periods that they just had now, where everyone else is back-to-backs and every other day. So I think their energy level will be high on Saturday. I expect a good effort.
Razor, the back-to-back was unique because Florida and Tampa, very different. Florida leans on you. They just muck it up. They grab you. They like to scrum. And should we be worried about Tampa? I know you and Jaff were talking about, hey, it looks like Tampa's kind of rounding into shape. Regardless of what the numbers say at the end of the year with Tampa Bay, are you seeing a team that you're going to have to take seriously come the postseason?
Oh, yeah, no question. Absolutely. When you have one of the best defenders, you have two guys, the whole core of won Stanley Cups multiple times. Kucherov probably could be maybe the MVP of the season. They're legit. They're going to be a hard out. Listen, the first round, guys, this first round, no matter where you are in the Eastern Conference especially is going to be ridiculous. It really is. It's not going to be one of those years where, oh my God, I can't believe this team or that team didn't get out of the first round. It's because they're playing. There's six teams going into the Eastern Conference playoffs that think they can win the Stanley Cup, legitimately believe that they're Stanley Cup worthy. And the other two are going to be hot getting in on the last day. So it's going to be ridiculous how hard the first round is for the Eastern Conference playoffs.
So we're talking to Andrew Raycroft, and I'm curious, off of that, Razor, what's, and maybe this is a stupid question, but you should understand.
It's hockey
now.
Talk.
It's hockey talk.
Yeah, we're insulated here.
Is it fair to say that style is more important, like hockey, the way you play, like your philosophy, your style of play, is more challenging than a team's personnel?
Ooh, no. I think it's harder to get there because you need 22 personnel to get there, where the personnel, you can have bits and pieces of everybody. But if you really, like, this Bruins style, this Bruins culture, when did Chara got here in 07? So that's 17 years of natural selection, essentially, to get to this point where the Bruins know exactly what kind of personnel they need to have, what kind of person, what kind of character, what kind of player. There's been guys that have got shipped out very quickly. That's part of that natural selection. You can read into all of those quick moves and know this is how the Bruins have got to this culture. So I would say that the style that you play is predicated on the personnel, and you need all of them, so it's harder to get to that. I think teams want to, but they also get blinded or they get distracted by high-end talent that the Bruins don't get distracted by that anymore. They understand exactly what they need and what kind of person they need to be able to pull the rope the same way.
Razor, I know a couple nights ago, Hamper was with Peak, Carlo was with Wotherspoon. If everybody is upright and ready to go on the back end, who are the back six and how would you pair them?
Well, I was intrigued the other night. The game didn't really settle into to really understanding or seeing how those lineups or those pairings would have worked. It just wasn't one of those games where it really became clear. Those are certainly my top six. That's who's starting. Wotherspoon, Peak, and then of course Hampus, Carlo, Grizzlick, McAvoy. I would imagine, again, this is very matchup based, depends on who they play, what kind of team they play. But I would probably stick to how it's been, where you have Carlo, Lindholm, McAvoy, Grizzlick, and then the other two guys.
When it comes to, first of all, like, how would you define high danger chances? Like, what is that? Is it just a breakaway? Is it, I'm just trying to, like, looking at the stats, looking at the numbers, look at the, you know, the game they lost against Tampa. Everyone keeps bringing up high danger chances, either the amount that they had to withhold or the ones that they gave up on, like they didn't even use them, like they had too much passing going on. How do you explain that?
Well, high danger chances are typically in the slot, which is the middle of the ice between 0 and 30 feet away. Usually they bring into consideration an east-west pass over the midline, meaning a pass across center ice and then a shot directly off of that. Typically that's a one-timer or a quick play that's high danger. But also, you know, you can pass the eye test as well. Sometimes with those analytics, they haven't got this figured out yet. A breakaway from David Pastrnak is different than a breakaway against Christian Fourier. So both of those would be high danger opportunities, but at the same time, I'm probably picking Fourier to take the breakaway on me rather than David Pastrnak.
I see what you did there. That was uncalled for.
Called a shot is really what it was.
I don't think that was really needed, but whatever.
Razor, you mentioned Jim Montgomery's call out of this team. Last year, didn't need to do a lot of that. What does it say about Monty this year that there is that confidence there and that there is kind of understanding the pulse of the team? Because Friday night, against Florida, this team did respond.
They did respond. It's just him being here another year. No Bergeron, no Krejci, a lot of younger guys, knowing he has to coach more. I'm sure he blew up on guys privately last season that no one saw, but publicly for him to do that, he's just trying to get everybody's attention. And so I think that is his coaching style. That he feels comfortable doing that. That's how he gets people's and players' attention. And I think it goes to just kind of the roster and the team they have. They need the whip a little bit more than what they needed last season.
So, Razor, what's on the schedule today? 9 hours of college hockey. What do we got? Mesopotamia State against Western Saskatoon. What's going on?
No. We got the big boys today. We got Boston College at 2 o'clock, so you got to tune into that, everybody. They're the number one team in the country, and at this point should roll through this tournament. But, of course, it's hockey, so you never know. Quinnipiac against Wisconsin, so another bit of a local flair there. And then tonight, North Dakota, Michigan, that's as big as it gets. Michigan State as well. So those are all football schools, guys. You might have actually heard a couple of those. Wisconsin, Michigan, North Dakota. Well, not North Dakota.
Yeah, I was going to say. North Dakota State.
Powerhouse.
Yeah, North Dakota State's had more football success than BC.
My boy, Josh Allen.
Why can't BC football be as good as BC hockey?
Because of Clemson and Florida State.
Investigate that, Razor.
Florida State can't execute the line change like they can having the offensive line against
I would assume the recruiting pools in two different parts of the country. It makes it a little more. So one pool is a little more used to the cold than the other. The reality is if Florida State or Miami had a hockey team, there might be a few more guys going there than Boston College, too.
Hey, Razor, let me ask you a weird question. That Minnesota high school hair hockey team that they put online every year, do you look at that and think of, a great mullet once gone by?
Yeah, those are the good old days. The bleach blonde hair for playoffs, that was a thing. I'm not sure. And it certainly is a thing in Minnesota. They've really leaned into that, and the kids do a pretty good job getting creative with their hair style.
Did you, at one point in time, have a mullet that you then dyed white?
No, I didn't go long hair too often. When I did, it was kind of more longer on top rather than longer on the back. Never really went full mullet. The mullet thing kind of came in the last 5 or 6 years where it, returned. I missed it in the 80s, and I missed it on the back end here now, the new age mullet. So I had long hair, but it wasn't meant to be a mullet.
So you missed mullet and, the Lanny McDonald giant mustache as well.
Yeah. We went mustache a little bit just for fun. We would go with a mustache every middle of the season when you're kind of bored. But now the mustache is a little bit more accepted nowadays as well.
Can you grow a good one if you had to? I would envision Jaffe might be able to grow the better facial hair between the two of you because of the follically challenged up top.
My mustache grows really well. Everything else is probably not as good. I haven't let it go in a while, but I had a hard time. I mean, at 23, I was still trying to get to puberty. I had no chance of growing a beard at that point. But I'm probably a little better now. I have to shave a little bit more, but no, my mustache is good. Everything else, not so good. Jaffe would crush me.
Any discussion at Nesson of the playoff mustache and kind of letting it go, or do you guys have
you
to?
You guys should do it also.
Yeah, can't you do it with the team and get away with it?
No, that's a team player thing. Listen, there are some people that do it, so I don't want to offend anybody, but as a former player, that offends me when people do the playoff beard, right? It's like, well, no, it's kind of one of those things. It's like you get to do it if you're on the team. So if I rolled in and hey guys, look at my playoff beard, I would take it on the chin for sure.
Ooh, and on that note, there you go. Razor, have a great time with all the college hockey stuff. We will talk to you next Friday, friend. Thanks a bunch. And hopefully Fourier heard all of the Canadian in you during this interview.
When he says tomorrow.
That tomorrow is one of them.
Tomorrow.
Yep, right.
Tomorrow, oat. Thank you. Yeah, all that. Razor, thank
you're
you,
the
buddy.
Best.
We'll see you.
You got it. Happy Easter, huh?
Yeah, there you go.
The Easter Bunny shows up for you. Happy Easter.
Yeah, thanks, buddy.